So turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. We're still sort of in a transition along the 2 Corinthians, which will, God willing, be next Sunday. Pray with me about that. 2 Corinthians, just to get started with that book, has been a little bit more challenging than I anticipated, but we want to make sure we get it right. Amen. So we'll, Lord willing, be working in that starting next Sunday. But for today, we'll be in Matthew chapter 16. Just remain seated. We'll read our text, verse 5 through verse 12. Verse 5 through verse 12. The Bible says, "And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It's because we have taken no bread." Can you hear that trembling in their voice? "We forgot bread. He's mad at us." Verse 8. "Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little..." What's that next word? "Why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. Do ye not yet understand and neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." How easy it is for us to miss the plan of God because of our worry. We get worried, don't we? And boy, that worry blinds us. That worry overwhelms us. And then that worry controls us. And friend, if you've struggled with worry and anxiety and those kinds of struggles this morning, this lesson is for you. This message is for you. Because God is working a plan that is so much broad and more powerful than you and I can even begin to understand how vast His wonders are. But He'll give us a glimpse if we can get past our worries. Let's this morning pray and ask God to help us. Father, we need you and your guidance as we open your word. We need help, Lord. There's such a tendency to worry. There's such a tendency to be overwhelmed with this kind of anxiety and struggles with our thoughts, and our stomachs get turned all upside down with sickness because of the stuff that we're having to deal with. But God, you're at work. So would you help us to see it this morning in Jesus' name? Amen and amen. Worry has a way of causing us to do the most ridiculous things. I mean ridiculous. And you know I'm going somewhere with that statement, right? So Christmas, about 5 or 6, or who knows, you know, years fly. So it could have been longer than that ago. I don't even know. No, it would have been more than that. Christmas in when the big snowstorm hit in St. Joe. Remember, that would have been years ago. That was before we were here. This is like 10 years ago. Mercy. I was about to say 5 years. Okay, so we had this Christmas celebration, and it would have been on a Saturday, so much like yesterday, and we had the family over. My brother-in-law was there and his family, all their kiddos. They didn't have Jack yet, so they had 3, and the snowstorm came. We got like 4 feet of snow, had to cancel church the next day, and it was pretty nuts. Well, that night when the snow was pounding down, everything was fine. It was kind of a sort of exciting thing, you know. Until about 1 in the morning when the electricity went off. Well, you would think that that's not a big deal. Just stay under the covers. I mean, it's not like it's negative 20 degrees outside. Yeah, it's snow, but we'll be fine. Not my brother-in-law. He went bonkers. The electricity is off. We're all going to die. Come on. So he got the whole family into the living room in the middle of the night. And dug up my father-in-law's propane heater. So yeah, we're all in the living room with a propane heater blowtorch blowing on us all night. It's a wonder anybody woke up the next morning and didn't die from carbon monoxide poison. But anyway, I think that there's something, I think Wesley was affected by this, because in the middle of the night, I'm sleeping on the floor, my head's by the end of the loveseat couch, and Wesley's on this little loveseat couch, and he got sick in the middle of the night and decided to barf on the ground, right on my head. So that was lovely. Somewhere around 3 or 4 in the morning. Merry Christmas. So, you know why all that happened? Because somebody worried. And I'll need to bring this back up to him, as you know, maybe later today that I talk about that. Worry does have a tendency, I think, sometimes to cause us to do things because we get overwhelmed. We get so focused on the trial or the thing that we're going through. We get so focused on that we just lose our senses, and emotion sometimes takes over, and then we say things and we do things that we shouldn't say, and we do things that really we shouldn't do, and it's all motivated because we're afraid and we're worried and we're overcome with our anxiety, and it just sort of sometimes paralyzes us and sometimes throws us off the cliff doing crazy, weird, you know, kinds of things. But here's what it mostly does. Worry blinds us from God's plan in our life. It will cause us not to be able to see God. So you'll look around and all you'll see is the problems that you're going through, no matter how. Have you ever went through something and it caused you to do crazy things, and then you, maybe a couple of years later, you look back and say, you know, that wasn't as a big deal as it felt on the day that it happened. But look how it just was the only thing you could see on that day when you were going through. It was the only thing you could focus on. Everything, all your attention was driven and given to that, so that you couldn't see past it. And everything that you did, everything that motivated you, was driven by the emotion that you felt because of what you were going through in that moment. The one thing you can't do is see God. You can't see God working. You can't see how God is going to work. You can't see past this to see what God might be doing because of this. It just controls you. It takes over. The disciples would face a trial here. Now, in scope of what they're going through with the emotion that they felt inside, it was a small thing that they forgot bread. Literal bread, like food to eat. That's a small thing. Now, unless you're with my boys and you land somewhere on a road trip and you don't have any snacks, then, you know, this is very dramatic. You know, what are we going to eat? We're going to, you know, this is a long trip. We might not survive, you know. But that being set aside, the disciples here, they would have began to worry and allow this worry that they had just of this simple, small little thing of forgetting bread, so that it was the only thing that they could think about. And when Jesus gave them a command, when he gave them instruction, when he gave them a wonderful warning, all of their attention wasn't able to see the warning or the message that Jesus was trying to get across to them. It was all filtering through what they had forgotten. It stopped right there. They couldn't get past it. Look at verse number 5. When the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Now, we forget things, right? We invited to that missions conference in Minnesota. I forgot. We were supposed to sing. One of the main things we were supposed to do there was sing. And I forgot my guitar. I didn't bring it. So we're halfway. We're like in Fargo, wherever that is. And I couldn't... North Dakota, right? I couldn't... I what are we going to do? I didn't bring my guitar, you know? So we stopped at a pawn shop and started looking at guitars, and I actually found a really nice one for a reasonable price, replaced the strings, and we were able to make it through, but we would forget things. I mean, have you ever forgot your wallet? Yes. I filled up with gas one time and didn't have my wallet. I was in college. And so this was before they required you to, you know, you could fill up and not, and because they knew you're going to pay inside, right? So I didn't have my wallet, and I filled up with gas, and I had to go in there and say, listen, I left my wallet at home, and I need to go home and get it, come back and pay for this. And they're like, oh, that's no problem. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be coming back through here in the morning. Can I just pay for it in the morning. They're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. No, it's not fine. As a matter of fact, they called the police. Somebody filled up with gas and drove off. And guess the police officer who showed up. This is a true story. This isn't in my notes at all. I'm probably going to forget why I'm even telling you this story. The police officer that showed up to find out who did this, to report it, was a member of our church. So it just happened to work out that he was like, and he paid it for me, and then I paid him back. What a gracious thing to do, right? And he didn't let me live past that very much, you know. But we forget things, is the point I'm making. And the disciples forgot bread. And so it's an emotional, it stirs you up. And they would have been upset about this, but not near, and they didn't say anything to Jesus. And we find that in this episode, because the way that this unfolds, Jesus wouldn't have known that they forgot bread, and they certainly weren't going to report it to Jesus like, oh, hey, we forgot bread. They were just going to, hopefully it flies under the radar and it all works out, right? Well, it didn't work out that way, because Jesus brought up something that stirred this emotion in them by saying, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, when Jesus said leaven, what are they automatically thinking? Bread. Great. Here we go. We forgot the bread, now Jesus is bringing it up. Look at verse number 6. Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 7, they reason among themselves. Oh, man. I'm paraphrasing. Oh, man. It's because we have taken no bread. So now, think with me. When Jesus said leaven, we already discovered this, that they would have thought that he was bringing this up, getting onto them, because they had forgotten bread, forgotten literal bread. Think with me on this, because leaven has different meanings, whether you're referencing something in the Old Testament or referencing something in the New Testament. So you have to look at the context to find out what leaven is, what it's actually talking about in that passage. Now, in the Old Testament, I don't hasten to say exclusively, but I'm pretty sure it's exclusive. Let me just say almost exclusively talking about sin. So when you see leaven and it's used as a symbol in the Old Testament, it's talking about sin. Leaven, and so that's why we, in the Lord's table, even in the New Testament, it can refer to sin. So we don't have leaven in the bread that we observe the Lord's table. There's not leaven in the grape juice. And we don't drink alcoholic beverage when we take the Lord's table. Okay, so it's unleavened without sin. But that's not what it's talking about here. When Jesus said leaven, what he's talking about, we'll see it because I'll show you another passage that shows it in this light as well as our passage. But leaven here means something small or a small amount of something that infects or affects the whole. Sort of like yeast, because leaven would be yeast. So when you take yeast and you put it in the dough, you put a very little amount of it in the dough, and it affects all of the dough. Well, listen to this verse. Don't turn there, but in Matthew 13:33 it says this: another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took, note, and hid in 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And so in that passage, clearly, leaven is referring to a little that affects the whole. And so that's what's happening here. Jesus is saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because just a little bit of their influence, it'll affect your whole life. You see that? And so he's talking about influence. How much bad influence can you take in so that it affects you in a big way? A little. And that's why we need to be careful, moms and dads and us. How about, this certainly is a case when we point at our kids and say, watch it, and my kids got in our home for Christmas, what's that thing called we got? We could talk to it. Alexa, thank you. It's pretty fun so far. It's a little creepy, but because, you know, it's listening to you. But anyway, we've had fun with this. So, but we also, the boys have an Alexa in their room, so that we can say, go to bed, or something, but in a nice way, right? So so we got this machine so that we can communicate. And why did I bring this up? Mercy, I do this. I thought I was going to do this in Sunday school too. That's what I was going to say. So the boys have one of these things in their room, and you're thinking, well, is that a bad idea? Sort of like in the old days when you had a TV in the room. Why would you have a TV in the kid's room? Well, I would agree that's maybe not always a great idea. Just like this potentially could have a bad effect on them. Although we put parental locks on it, you know, so there's certain things they can't do. But there's still potential there, right, of something bad. Now, how much of something bad, again, this is where I was going with this. Praise God, I remembered. How much of something bad can get into these kids so that it affects their life in a big way? Well, a little. But let's not forget that's true for you and me, moms and dads, so that we would watch out for what we allow our kids to be exposed to, but not ourselves. Think, well, you know, they're young and vulnerable, but I'm not. No, we are too. So, like we need to watch out and be careful that the little leaven affects the whole, we need to do the same thing. And I think in the end, that's kind of the message Jesus is wanting to get across to his disciples. Because he's talking about the doctrine, he even said it later on, the doctrine of the Pharisees, the doctrines, the teachings of the Sadducees. If you get affected by even a little bit of that, it can really affect you in a big way. So beware of it, stay away from it, and avoid it. Make sure you don't come into contact with that, right? Well, that's true for us, just like it's true for the disciples. The problem is, what an amazing, amazing message that we need to get. But here's the point of this passage. They couldn't get it. They couldn't get the message. Because they were so overwhelmed with their worry, they couldn't get the blessing of the message. They couldn't even hear it. It was like nothing was clicking, nothing was getting to the heart, nothing was getting past the mind, because there was a huge brick block wall that was hindering it, and it was called worry, anxiety, fear. It really stops that kind of growth. It really hinders the message of God, and it sure hindered it with these disciples. They were blinded to the message. The same thing happens to us when we worry. We get what God is really doing. I mentioned in Sunday school about Danielle and her illness. It's an ongoing prayer request, isn't it, church family? And I hope that you have Danielle on your daily prayer list so that you'll lift her up to the Lord. We don't know what God is going to do, but we're asking God to heal her. We don't know how this is going to work out, but we're asking God to give wisdom to the doctors. She has a ways to go. And we have seen God answer these kinds of prayers before, haven't we? But sometimes, even in this situation, certainly, there's a fair share of worrying that's going on. We don't know the future, but I'll tell you this. If you're overcome by worry, you're not going to see God's plan through this. How God can use it. Because our worry blinds us. Worry keeps us from seeing it. Can I say just plainly, when you worry, you're blind to God's plan. It's the title of the message. It would sort of be like saying, if things go bad and then get worse, and then she dies, or something goes really awful in this situation, then my family's not going to get saved. Or my family's going to blame God. Or people are going to be mad at God because of this. Now, question. Now, this isn't an isolated situation, because we go through hard things. All of us go through things where we see and pray that God does a miracle in the health of somebody. We pray for that. And we should. And it's not a wrong thing. It does make a difference. But can I say that it doesn't change the plan of God? In the sense that God has a plan, and He can use anything and everything that we go through and that people go through for good, to bring good from it. But if you and I worry and overcome with fear, then it causes you and I, watch, to be blind to what God can do. Because we're so stuck on what our family or how they're going to respond and how they potentially are going to blame God. If this happens, so God, you can't let this happen because then they'll blame you and they'll never get saved. How about we not allow those kinds of thoughts and worries to distract us from what God can do through anything? But it is true that we do let worry do that to us. What about this? What if someone else in my family gets do? What if I lose people that I love, not only through sickness and death, but this? How about if they just leave? Did you know there are some people who walk on such eggshells that they can't even live their life with a kind of joy and peace because they're afraid somebody they love in their life is going to leave them? That's a kind of worry that God doesn't want you to live with. You don't have to. We do. How about this? What if I don't get to do the things that other people get to do because of all these rules in my life and these restrictions, and then I live my life and I miss out on all this stuff that all my friends and all the other kids get to do, and I don't get to do it because I live in this home and have these rules and these restrictions or whatever it is that you... Sometimes we tell ourselves that we're missing out. Did you know that is a worry that God doesn't want you to have, kids? He doesn't want you to have that kind of worry. But you know, a lot of times kids who grow up in good homes, and by the way, having rules in your home, that's a good thing, isn't it, moms and dads? It is a good thing. Protects you. And sometimes kids get so distracted by those things and worried about what they're missing out on that they can't see God's plan through it. They can't see past it. That worry about whatever they're missing out on has caused them not to see that God has something far better for them. But they don't see it because they're worried about what they're missing out on. You see? You don't have to worry like that. You don't have to worry like that. Let me give you another one. What if I don't meet somebody to spend the rest of my life with? There's not a better way, I don't think, to say that. What if I don't meet somebody to spend the rest of my life with? You know, people worry about that too, don't they? Listen, I know young adults, and not just young adults, but those that are in a transition time and just waiting for God's plan in that regard. I understand that, and we worry. But it's true that kids worry about that kind of thing. Not young kids. These kids probably, I don't know. I mean, you kind of hit that age where you start thinking about it. I'm not sure yet, but it can become a worry. I read this great book, Change Into His Image. How many of you recognize that book? Isn't that great? If you haven't read it, let me encourage you. It would be a well worth your investment in that book. Change Into, it's heavy, it's good, thoughtful, helpful, big time. Change Into His Image, that's the name of it, Jim Burke. He talks about that in there. He has a youth edition to that book. And I used to go through it with teenagers when I was a youth pastor. And in there he talks about teenagers who have the hardest time trusting God with who they're going to get married to. And I'm talking about when they're 16, 17, 18 years old. I mean, they're still so young, they're not ready to get married, but they're already thinking about it. And they're worried that if they follow God and His path for their life, then they're not going to end up with somebody that they really like, or they're really attracted to, or they really... you know, is really cool. I mean, if you serve God, then the devil tells you that you're not gonna end up with somebody that you're really gonna be, you know, happy about, which is the opposite of the truth. But here's the reality: kids worry about that kind of stuff. Can I tell you, when you get to that age and that thought starts coming to your mind, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to let the thought of who you're gonna get married to in the next however many years. If you want to know specifically how old, then ask me after church. But I'll tell you, probably 25, 30, somewhere in there. But anyway, our worry causes us not to be able to see God's amazing plan for your life because you can't get past the worry that's hindering you to see what God has for you. God has something amazing for you. He wants you to be able to see it. Your worry will blind you. It will blind you. They're blinded by their worry. God had an amazing message for them. But they couldn't see the message. because they were so worried. Let me give you just two more. What if I lose my job? And this one goes along with, the last one goes along with that. What if I lose my job? How about this? What if I can't make enough money to pay the bills? You say, well, people don't worry about that. Oh, yeah, they do. What if I can't make enough money this month to make all the payments that I need to make? And you get stirred up about finances, buddy. I'm telling you, you have a hard time sleeping on that. Worry, worry, worry. I read of a pastor who talked with somebody who doubted the goodness of God. They were worriers. You know, there's worriers all around, right? And maybe a few of us in here, I don't know. The doubter, the worrier, said, I don't know what I'm going to do with all this trouble and worry that's inside me. The pastor pointed to a cow in the distance. Definitely a farmer. Amen. He pointed to the cow in the distance, looking over a stone wall. The pastor said, do you know why that cow is looking over that stone wall? The worrier said, no. The pastor said, the cow's looking over the wall because he can't see through it. That's what you need to do with your wall of trouble. You need to look over it. Worry keeps... this is good. Please note this. Worry keeps you from looking past your circumstance to see the plan of God. Worry keeps you from looking over the brick wall. The wall of your circumstance. You get stuck there, don't you? We get stuck there sometimes. We don't see what God's doing, and we don't see what God can do. Because He's not only working right now, He is in the process of doing something that we don't even know about it yet. And the only thing we can do as we look forward to what God can do is trust that God has something amazing planned for you and me. But that requires faith, doesn't it? That's what Jesus said. Look at verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, He said unto them, O ye of little faith. And then He talked to them about the loaves of fish that... Or rather, the loaves and the fish that He used, the small amount to feed the 5,000 and the small amount that He used to feed the 4,000, the two different episodes that we read of in the Bible where Jesus fed these. Now, note this. Specifically, Jesus brought up how much was left over. Look at verse 9. Do you not remember neither the five loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up? Now, that word baskets is kophanos. Kophanos. And here's what it means. It means like a little pouch. Now, you might remember seeing maybe some imagery of what Jews would have used in those days. They had this sort of little pouch that went over them, sort of like a satchel, and in that pouch would have been their lunch. And so that's what the kophanos was referring to. How many of those was left over? How many pouches of food was left over after the feeding of the 5,000? It was 12, remember? Why 12? Very specific number. How many disciples were there? 12. Here's what Jesus was saying. I fed the 5,000 and I fed you. Here's the point. I'm going to take care of you. So you don't have to worry. That's pretty good. But He said, I didn't stop there. He said, I fed 4,000, and how much was left over from that? 7. Now, this is a different word. Look at verse 10. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets, same word, baskets, English word, but the Greek word is spirus. This wasn't the same, obviously, of kophanos, which was a little satchel. This word, spirus, or baskets, was referring to a big basket, sort of like a laundry basket, big enough that a human person could fit inside of it. Because remember in Acts, when Paul was let out of the window, he was let out of the window in a spirus basket, which was a basket would have been big enough for Paul to be in it and let out of the wall, lowered to the ground. So this is a large basket. The Bible, Jesus said, how many baskets were left over? Large baskets full of food was left over from the second. It was 7. How much is the number of completion? It's the number 7. Here's what Jesus says. I'm going to take care of you. So you don't have to worry. So you're missing the message of warning that I'm giving to you. It's going completely by you because you're stuck on your worry. And here's what Jesus says. You're worrying about something you don't have to worry about. I'm going to take care of you. I have a plan. I have something that not only I'm taking care of you today, I'm going to take care of you in the future. You don't have to worry about today. You don't have to worry about the future. And if you get stuck on your worry, you're going to miss the blessings. You're going to miss the message. You're going to miss the plan. So we don't have to worry. Jesus says, I'm going to take care of you. Well, that's encouraging. That's strengthening. That's just what the disciples needed to hear, that Jesus was going to take care of them. But they had to see past their worry. And the only way they could do that is by faith. Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." So what can God do? Faith enables us to look past our circumstances to see God's plan. What can God do? Well, He can make a 99-year-old woman pregnant and have a baby. That's not too encouraging to some of us, I think, but it is true that God can do that. Amen? What can God do? He can overcome an Egyptian powerhouse with a few slaves. Well, not a few, but many. But using slaves and part the Red Sea, God can do that. God can defeat a giant with a sling and a stone. God can make boys walk into a fiery furnace and not be burned up. God can close the mouths of the lions and save Daniel in the lion's den. He can do that. He can make the lame to walk. He can make the blind to see, the deaf to hear. Is there anything God can't do? Faith enables us to see past our circumstance, that God not only is doing great things, but that God is working in a way to perform something that hasn't happened yet, but we can trust Him today to know that He's going to do something great. So what we need to decide today is to not let our worry control us so that we can't see how God's going to use this. Let me say that again. We need to decide today not to allow our worry control us so that we can see what God is doing in life today and what He could do down the road. I read the story about Albert Einstein, who formulated the formula E equals MC squared, which led to the discovery of the atom bomb. When he discovered the formula, he did a lot of presentations. You know, he would travel to lectures and show or share about his discovery. And so from place to place, he had the same driver, the same person who drove him from each, speaking engagement. And this particular driver memorized Albert Einstein's lecture from start to finish. And so one day, Albert came into the garage to get ready to go to a lecture, and he heard his driver conducting his lecture and just sort of in the behind the scenes and quoted the thing precisely all the way. So Mr. Einstein came to this driver and said, "Hey, why don't at the next lecture you give the lecture?" And the driver said, "Sure, but only if you do one thing for me, if you drive the car that day." And so that particular day, that particular lecture, Albert Einstein drove the car and his driver gave the lecture and did marvelously, with one problem. This didn't happen at lectures, and then it happened at this one, where somebody in the crowd asked a question. And when the question was asked, the driver, obviously not knowing how to respond, paused for a minute, and then he said this finally, "You know, that question is so easy that my driver can answer that." Yep. I love that story. Isn't that good? But it's true for you and me, that we go through hard things and God helps us navigate when we hit those hard things and we don't know what's going to happen and then we start worrying, we can remember we don't have to worry because somebody is in the driver's seat who already knows. And you can rely on Him to take care of what you don't know about what the future is holding with this situation, but you can know this. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. And I hope that this morning you'll be encouraged by this, because He has done so much more already that you and I can't even process. And the future is so bright and exciting. God wants you to see it. Don't let your worry blind you. from what God is doing and what he can do. Amen. Father, this morning we pray that you'd help us to overcome this struggle and battle that we so have with worry. We know that you know what we don't know. And we certainly face those questions of life that we literally have no idea how to respond, what to do, what to say, how to act. We don't know our right hand from our left hand. We have no response other than tears sometimes, just to sit and cry. But I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us to remember that you know that you're the captain of the ship, the driver of our life, and you know what we don't know, and we can trust you. Would you help us with that, please? Guide us in our steps. Help us to have faith enough to know that you know. We love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together.